So today is sort of the finish of part one in Galatians as we take next week to do an exciting look at missions, and then we move into Advent. So today is kind of a wrap-up in one way. You're going to see how we'll move on and go back to life in the Spirit, life in grace, starting in the new year. But we're going to finish this part of Amazing Grace Rediscovered with the call to say, look, you don't live in the world filled with grace, right? I mean, that's, at least, I guess that's my experience. You've got to live in grace while pretty much most people do not live in grace around you. And you've got to relate to people in grace while most people around you do not relate to you in grace. I'm pretty sure Sarah Patton doesn't go in the hallways of high school. Everybody's saying, grace unto you, Sarah, today. Grace unto you. That's probably not what they're telling her when she's in high school, all right? And that's probably not what's happening at your workplace. And yet, Paul gives us some very important words in Galatians chapter 5 at the end that give us a call of how to live in grace when there's no grace around us. Because remember, Jesus said, if ever anybody is thirsty, they should drink of him and out of them, not from outside of them in, but from inside of them out, rivers of living water, springs of water will flow. Grace can come from within to the world outside of us. And so it's this very scripture, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is right after Paul has described what the acts of the sinful nature are, but the fruit of the Spirit. He says, look, in this world, and he's talking to people who are not dealing with each other in grace in the very book of Galatians, but he's saying, look, you've got to keep living in the Spirit, keep living in grace. To the Apostle Paul, grace and the Spirit are the same. You can't have grace without it. The Spirit is the grace God brings you, and then he shows it up in many, many ways. Even like getting a 9-point deer yesterday, right, Tyler? 9-point, was that it? Yeah, just I saw that on Facebook. Way to go. I don't know if you consider that grace or not, but I think Tyler does, so it's good. So here's the thing. This next slide right here, here's what we're going to look at today. Now, just a little disclaimer. All right, Margaret St. Clair had no idea what my sermon was this morning. I hope you paid attention to what the Lord spoke to her about, because what did she say? She said, remember your story. All right? She had no idea what my sermon was. That was a word from the Lord for some of you here to really pay attention to this. Okay? But when we read this verse, there's really four things. And, you know, life is not a step-by-step process, but it's important that you kind of get it like a step-to-step process, because it'll help you sort through the emotions and the craziness of each moment. If I was gonna put a different title on this sermon, I would say this. What to do when you're afraid? What to do when you're afraid or when you're stuck? How to live in grace when nothing around you is giving you grace? All right, I want you to understand that. How do you live in grace when nothing around you is giving you grace? How to live in grace when you're afraid? How to live in grace when you're stuck? What do you do? Paul says in this, and I'm going to ask you, every time this slide comes up, it's going to come up a few times, I'm going to ask you out loud to read the verse with me. Don't read any of the numbers, okay? Some of you are so detail-oriented, it's crazy, all right? Just don't read the numbers. They're in brackets, so we don't read them. So here we go, you ready? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Good, you did it better than I did. So here we go. The first thing is you've got to remember your story. Next slide, please. Paul says this, those who belong to Christ Jesus. Those who belong to Christ. He says, look, if you're going to stay in the Spirit, if you're going to live in grace when nobody else around you is treating you with grace or giving you grace, you've got to start by remembering who you belong to. You've got to do that. You've got to remember what your story is. And your story is not the day your parents got a divorce. Your story is not the day you had that moral failing. The story is not the day your addiction got found out. The story is not when you failed at the thing. Your story is so much bigger than that. And if you see it, I put a few thoughts on it. You don't have to write them down. I just want to make sure I said them this morning. Look, you live out the story that you believe in and focus on the most. There's there's a college course on sex and spirituality that I've been reading through. It's just such a great take. And what he says is, look, we've got a church culture that's trying to tell the next generation, don't have sex before you're married, all these things. And yet, it's not doing a good job giving the next generation the big story to live out, because people live out their story of sexuality they believe. It's not the principles and the classroom and the textbooks and the Bible lessons. What it is, they've heard some story in their life. Some movie captured what they think the story of sexuality is, and they're living out that story. And what it says in this curriculum is, we are people made for a story and made by a story. There's a story you believe, it's making you. You're living it out right now. The story you believe is the big story. And last week, when we took the cup of communion and we said yes to him, we said yes to the most important story there is. There's one really big story, and the enemy is doing everything he can to make you forget that story. And the world is actually trying to give you all these other stories to live by, and they're all based on work. They're all based on what you've done and haven't done and what you should do and what you're afraid to do. And it's all based on that, but there is a story that God has from the beginning, the foundations of the world. This is your story. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. Your story started way before you. At the foundation of the world, God started writing your story, and it was a story of grace. It was never, ever a story of work. It was never a story. He never wrote your story saying you weren't going to need grace in your life. It was always that story. It's the world that gave you Rocky, that gave you Frozen, that gave you Sleeping Beauty, I don't know, whatever movie you like. All right? That story that you resonate with, that's like, yeah, that's me. All right? No, it's not. You got that idea. God never gave you that idea. The reason you have the Bible is saying your story is a story of grace. And the world is always telling you, though, no, it's not. It's a story of what you did. I know what you did last summer. That's your story. Okay, there's only a few people who got that one because that's kind of old. Sorry. No, that's not your story. This is your story. It's always been of grace. And when you spend all the time in your life worrying and fretting and regretting, you need to understand that what you do is important and there are consequences to that. And yet there has always been a plan for grace to be your story. Always. It's never been that way. You've been told something different. You have gotten and convinced yourself that you live a smaller story. And if you're going to, when you're afraid, when you're stuck, when nobody around you is living in grace, the first thing you do is nothing at all. The first question you ask is not, what should I do? The first thing you do is say, who am I? Who do I belong to? What is the real story of my life? It starts there. You will never live in grace if you do not remember that your story is a story of grace. You've got to remember, and everybody around you is going to try to push you and treat you like that's not your story. They're not going to treat you like they're expecting grace from you. They're not going to give you grace. But you have to remember, no matter who is right in front of my face pushing at me, no matter the fear that's trying to come all around me and confine me, my story is that I belong to the one who paid the price for me, and he is coming back for me. That's my story. I've got a whole bunch of interesting chapters in that story. That's my story. You'll see these next few verses. You did not choose me. This is Jesus speaking. You didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. That's your story. It's going to require some faith, right? But you cannot forget it. And when you start to believe what people around you are saying of you, when you start to take on their story, you need a fresh moment of what you heard this morning. Open the door, listen up, remember the story you're in. This next slide has a quote that I've been reading. It says, "The vast majority of us go to our graves without knowing who we are. We unconsciously live someone else's life, or at least someone else's expectations for us. This does violence to ourselves, our relationship with God, and ultimately others. Who we were supposed to be and how we are supposed to fit with others to create the miracles and the glory of God is never known." I had the privilege this past week of being with one of our extended family members as I was helping her plan her own memorial service that's probably going to happen in the next 6 months. I'm sitting with her, planning her service, talking about when she is gone. And there's this Ryan there, I'm saying, "What do you want to say?" And she's saying, "Look, all I can tell you, Pastor Sean, is that I finally figured out God's love has been all I've needed all along." And she's got quite the story. And I thought of this. I thought of myself. I think of a lot of you. Whose story are you living out today? Is it yours? Is it the one God created you have? Or are you living out somebody else's? This doesn't mean, well, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. It's not that kind of attitude. But it's like, no, there's a joy that God created me for his purpose, for his good works. He created me to be the one that would do amazing things. That definition of amazing is different according to the beauty and the greatness of God. It has nothing to do with if you get on TV, if you get 15 seconds on YouTube. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the story heaven is writing that one day will be the only story that matters. Will be the only story that matters one day. It won't matter what else you did. It'll only matter how you contributed to that story. That's the only thing that's going to last. And he said that. I said, "Man, that is right. What a tragedy. If we live this life and we've never been who we're supposed to be." Now, I tell you what, it's confusing because our own pride, our own fear, we'll talk about in a minute, it entangles itself all around that story. It's sometimes super hard to figure out what's our story and what's not. But God is filled with the grace to do it. He did not give you your strengths and weaknesses to confuse you. He gave you your strengths and weaknesses so he could tell his story through you. So I want you to look at this. Just go back to that again. You live out the story you believe in and focus on the most and all those truths. Let's get back to the main passage. Next slide, please. Read it with me. "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Remember the story. And then the second thing is, once you remember your story, number two, doesn't sound very touchy-feely, but absolutely destroy the root if you can. Destroy the root. You know, Paul says, in the next slide, please. He says, "We have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." Look, Satan has planted seeds of sin all around the real story, all around it. And that sin has entangled and overgrown your story of grace. There are a lot of you, you don't even know what your story is anymore. All you do is see what's all around your story. And what you've got to do, and it's not for the faint of heart, Christianity is not something for nice people, because there's really not too much nice about it. It's loving and kind and amazing, but you better have a little bold and courageous if you want to live it out. Because you've got to do more than cut off the branches. You've got to dig the roots out. So, here's what I did yesterday at home. We've got some stuff we're doing at our house. And so Caleb, my 8-year-old son and I, we had the joy of digging up a bush, which was fun. And, the bush had to go. And so, so the first thing we did was easy, right? We just cut off the branches. That was the easy part. Just, bam, done, right? I'm just better, All that sin, all that false story, all that sin wrapped around my life, gone. No, not really. That was the easy part. Bam. A lot of us treat Christianity like that. I'll just go to church. I'll get a branch cut off. And we'll be great. It's like, no. You're laughing because you know, right? So this is great because Caleb had a blast digging this thing up. This is so much fun. This is a small little bush, right? I mean, it's just a small one. And, we couldn't get this thing out without cutting the roots, so you can't even see how far they go, because there's no way this thing was coming out if we didn't just absolutely chop them. But, all you could see from above ground is just here. And yet what's really going on, this is a root, not a branch. This thing was just forever. And Caleb and I are poking at and digging around and, we're shoveling. Oh, there's another root. You couldn't believe for such a small little bush, this thing was in there. And this is what's around your story. And the longer you've let those seeds sit, the more it's just got all sorts of roots and tentacles all over your story. There are sometimes in my life, parts of my life, I don't even know what my real story is anymore because this thing is so overgrown it. The branches are all over the place. The roots are just around everything. And I love it. I love it because, when we were digging this all out, we're digging out all these little extra roots and stuff, and we're picking it out. And I don't know those of you who, when you do your lawn work and you've got this protecting, this is religion. This is religion right here. Let me put a nice layer of religion over top and nothing will grow over it. It just busted that thing all out. It's just like, this did not help at all. This is just a mess. And that's when we just think, I just need to do some good things. If I just do some religious things, I'll be fine. Boy, it doesn't take any time for sin to grow right through that, right? No time at all. And what you've got to do is you've got to dig out the roots. You've got to choose to say, Lord, there's something a lot more there. And that's where Paul says, look, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I was willing to go to the cross like Christ was going to the cross, and it pretty much felt that way. Now, we talked about what the roots are 2 weeks ago. If I can get that next slide, please. Here are the roots, and they're just all over your story. What's through it? It's self. What's most important is I. That's what's most important. And it's definitely about now. It's what will work right now, and it's the external. It's what is, as long as it looks. I just got to get this thing to look. My driver record, my resume, my transcript, my application, it's all got to look a certain way. And then it's all about what feels good. That is what good. If it feels that way, if it brings me pleasure, it's good. So what am I going to do? The answer is, what is my salvation all about? It's about my control. I've got things to do. And then, of course, fear really ends up being your chief motivation because you're always afraid that you can't do it or that you can't keep it or that it won't last by what you're doing. And that sentence right there, you need to pay attention to that sentence. Because this is what destroys families and destroys marriages and destroys me and you and destroys churches. Right now, I want to be in control so I can make life feel and look good. That sentence is from hell. Right now, what I want is to be in control so I can make life feel and look good. It's not good, it just feels and looks it. And if I'm in control, then salvation has come. That right there, when you say that sentence, sign up for a beating. Because that's what that sentence gives you. And it seems so reasonable. Paul says you've got to crucify the passions and the desires of the sinful. You gotta, don't chop off the branches, dig the roots out. Moving to the next slide. Timothy Keller says this. He says, crucifying the sinful nature is really about strangling sin at the motivational level, rather than simply setting ourselves against sin at the behavioral level, just chopping the branches. Real change in our lives cannot proceed without us identifying the real root desires of our sin in our lives. We have to ask ourselves, this is important, not just what we do wrong, but why we do wrong. We disobey God in order to get something we feel we must have, but why must we have it in the first place? I don't just ask, why am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? I'm like, why am I doing wrong? What lie have I believed? What story am I living out that's not even true about the real grace and the love of Jesus Christ in my life? Why am I living that? When I keep doing this, what is it saying about what I believe? And as I begin to think about that, I begin to poke around with my life and get past what's above ground where I can feel it and see it and external it and see what really is down there. That is where God does great work. And those roots, you think it's your circumstances that are holding you back? It's not. Those roots are anchored in there. And until you get rid of the roots, you're not moving. If you're stuck, you're not stuck. You're rooted to someplace. And you got to figure out what those things are. By the grace of God, you can do it. Now, Isaiah 61, Elijah House Prayer Ministry, it's all part of that here. We got great Wednesday night classes. That's all about doing those kind of things. To say, Lord, what do you want to show me about freedom in Christ? Get me unrooted to what is wrong. Clear away the false story. See the real one. So we have to remember these things. Next slide. All right, read with me. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We need to remember our story. We need to kill the root. And then the next thing is we have to welcome the Spirit. Now, here's what I don't think we believe, understand. At least I don't. Every time grace is attacked in your life, you knee-jerk the sinful nature in response. You don't think about it. You don't plan for it. You automatically go to self, now, control, pleasure, external. You don't even think about it, you do it. Why? Because it's natural, sinfully natural in you, okay? And so every attack on grace needs a fresh welcome of the Spirit. You say, well, what are you talking about? I didn't tell him to go. No, you didn't tell him to go, but you reacted in such a way that he went. And what you've got to do is you've got to say, all right, that person's not treating me with grace. This place is not my fear. I need to welcome the Spirit back in. I just need to have a fresh welcome. Spirit of God, you're welcome in this part of my life. And by focusing on the fruit of the Spirit, that welcomes the Spirit in. The reason we've got that list, we'll talk a lot about it when we talk next year about the way of the Spirit and what that really says about Jesus Christ and the power of his presence in our lives. But when we focus on the Spirit, it will welcome him in there. That's God's gift of practicality. And see, when we welcome the Spirit, we welcome the Spirit not to fix the ungracious world, but to grow our true story till it brings life to the world around us. There are wonderful acorns that have totally destroyed cement. And you just couldn't stop it. It just took time to be what it was supposed to be and to grow in who it really was. And for years and years, the cement looked like it won, that sidewalk. And one day, when the acorn didn't attack the cement and fix the cement and change the cement, what it did was it grew to be who it was. And who it was absolutely cracked the power of what seemed unbreakable. You and I have got to do the same thing. The Spirit is about what's working in us that we might become the true story that God has made us to be. That's why Paul is so hard on the Galatians. He says, are you kidding me? You know, he said, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you knee-jerked and then stayed in the sinful nature's response to your fear, to the lack of grace around you, to where you feel stuck in life? Are you really going to get there? Are you, as the acorn, going to do something to change the cement? Are you really going to just convince it to stop being cement around you? Or are you going to become who God has always planned for you to become, who's so much more than that cement? That's the choice we have to make. Next slide, please. See, we naturally respond to every attack on grace and God's good. If something's good in our life and it gets attacked, we naturally respond by, right now, I want to be in control so I can make life feel and look good. That's what we do without thinking. Nobody has to teach you to do that. But what we need to learn to say in welcoming the Spirit is, right now, I want the Holy Spirit in control so Jesus can give. I'm not making it. He's giving and creating what is eternally good. We were in the middle of service last week. Pastor Wayne was here. It was such a great moment. And he finished his prayer and he said, I just feel like someone in this room needs to hear that delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. And, you know, it was a great word for so many people. Why was that? Because what we had to do is say, you know what? Since now is not always the way God works. It's part of how he works, but it's not all he does. We have to learn that delays are not denials, that delays are part of the seasons and the rhythm of God growing the true story in our life. And we've got to get off of our now and get more into this issue of saying, Lord, do what is eternally good. Do what's going to count in the story that will last forever. Do that. And by the way, have lots of mercy and help me right now. He can do all that together. Next slide, please. Since we live by the Spirit, that's who we are, but we've got to, just because we're living by the Spirit, just because all we are is birthed by the Spirit, doesn't mean that when we get attacked, we don't need to take a fresh, intentional moment, say, Holy Spirit, come on back in. Help me handle this the right way. All right, let's read it one more time. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love that he says keep in step, because Paul is saying he's moving forward. Step forward in faith. Next slide, please. Step forward in faith. Keep in step with the Spirit. There is a way forward that the Spirit is moving towards. The Holy Spirit is living water. He's moving water. He's what's expanding the universe constantly. It never stops. He is always moving forward. Sometimes those movement forwards are not going to the external work. They're going to the root work in our life, but he's always moving forward in our life. There is always something. You are not stuck in the Spirit. You're not. There is a way to move forward. God has connected. And here's the beautiful thing about grace. I mean, this is what should just almost make you laugh and cry and rejoice. Look, this is how good God is. God has connected his glory and your good together by grace. I'm not saying the world's definition of good. I'm saying your true good. This is what God's done. He has connected his glory to your eternal good. He wants to work good in your life. He wants to work things so beautiful. Your real story, the true story of who God has made you to be, you'd be like, God, why are you doing that? And he's like, you know why? Because I tied my glory to your good. I did it on purpose. I did it in such a way that when my good in your life works out, everybody sees who I am. I connected my glory with your good. How can't you just thank the Lord for that? And then see, your true story is that Jesus is coming again for you, and he has your true and eternal reward. That's your big story. You cannot forget it. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. What is he talking about? Neither religiousness, religious actions, religious culture, religious tradition, religious appearances, none of that, or non-religious, none of that counts. What only counts is faith working through love. He wants to say, you know what? You can throw all this on top and hope nothing bad pops through, but this is not what's the matter. You know, this is not what's the matter. What's the matter is all this down here. And the Spirit of God can get down here and give you new life and clear away what's wrong. God really is amazing. His grace is absolutely amazing. So, I don't know. Do I call you out by name right now and say, Jocelyn, do you remember your story? I mean, do you know your real story? What story are you living right now? Bernard, how about you? Right? Everybody's like, don't look at Pastor Sean right now. All right, sorry. Tim, I got you, Tim. Brett, you know, it's what is it? It's like, are you really living the story you meant for? And are you willing to say, you know what? When I see that bad fruit, when I see the things there, Lord, I'm going to trust that we can go there. I'm going to trust, Lord, begin to take out those roots. You know what? It's going to feel hard for a little bit, but I tell you what, it's going to be beautiful. God has not, what he has begun in you, he is faithful to complete. Your biggest problem, though, is not what you do. It's who you think you are. Who are you? Who do you belong to today? Who do you belong to today? And if you belong to him, then look at what you're doing and say, is that right? If I'm this person, if this is who I am, if this is the grace of my life, should I be doing that? And if it's no, welcome the Holy Spirit in again. Just cut it. Just cut it. Say, God, you know what? That root's way too bad. I can't get to it, but I want you. I want you to dig this out. Have great mercy on me. Give me some anesthetic when I need it. You know, just help me. But God, I want it, and I welcome right now in. I just welcome in your Holy Spirit in a fresh way, and I am going to move forward in faith. There's something I can do. You're not stuck. I mean, I hope you feel the grace of that this morning. I hope you feel it. I'm going to invite you to stand. So the Lord has been talking to me about the power of the body of Christ. He's just been talking to me again and again and again. And what I'm going to invite you to do today to finish up, I'm going to invite you to turn in some circles and pray for each other. Just I know you introverts are like, oh, Pastor Sean, you're killing me. I know. Just chop the root. It'll be fine. But look, there's grace for you. And it's not only within this body, but it's there. I mean, someone has a prayer to pray that I don't even know if you'll appreciate when they pray it, but it's important. It's important to hear. And so I'm going to invite you right now. Would you find two or three, four people to circle up with there? Extroverts, help out the introverts. I'm going to start us in prayer. I'm going to start us in prayer, and then you finish up in prayer after that. All right, I'm going to pray first. If you turn the music down. All right, here we go. Let's pray together. And then after the prayer, if the deacons and the prayer ministers will be up front for anybody who wants to continue. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for today. Your grace is amazing that you tied our good and your glory together. It's amazing to me. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, some right here, some families are going to pray together. Lord, they need to pray that. So may their family not forget who they're supposed to be in you. There is a story that you are telling in that family, and I pray you protect it. Lord, husband and wives are going to pray together. Lord, touch them, dear God. Don't let them get lost in the small stuff. Lord, just give them grace today. We all need it. There's not a married couple that doesn't. Give us grace to not let the small story turn into the big story in our lives. Lord, your grace is there. Father, I just pray for, Lord, the young professional, the single adult. I pray for the student that's with us right now. Father, we want to welcome in a fresh way your Holy Spirit, and we are believing that we can step forward in faith. And I pray, even as we pray together, that there would be something you'd speak to our heart. You'd speak to the heart that feels stuck, say, this is what you can do next. So, Lord, I just pray that you would bless and anoint these prayer circles now. In Jesus' name, would you take a moment now and let the Holy Spirit use you as you pray and receive?